show broadcasting live from the seventh state of Australia and New Zealand. My very special guest, Craig Isherwood from La Roche Pack Aussie. He's the Roosevelt of Australia, the Kangaroo Roosevelt, if you will. And I also had a little announcement. Me and my girlfriend, Sarah, who's basically been my the breadwinner in our relationship for the last... at least 3.5 years or something. She's been backing me so I can do this sort of thing. This is our 6-year anniversary today, and it feels nice. Yeah, I went out and I got her some hotcakes from Burger King for breakfast. You know, I was like, I love you, babe. And I got him some bacon too. And she had a little bit of ice cream on it, some breakfast, you know. She's very sweet. She's my baby. Anyway, enough with the mushy crap. But there was a point that I wanted to bring up here is that if you're in a relationship with somebody, by goodness, do you have to learn a heck of a lot and you have to change a heck of a lot just in order to be maintaining a relationship. It's similar to politics in a way whereby you're trying to compensate, compromise, and be pragmatic, except it's different from politics in the way that you have that honesty and integrity and trust are the three pillars that you keep your relationship going on. However, politicians do the direct opposite, where it is lies, manipulation, and utter disdain for the population that dictates their policy. Different to, say, my relationship with Sarah, where we openly communicate, and if we have problems, we try to work through them as quickly as possible, as openly and honestly as we can. And I encourage other truthers if you don't have a girlfriend or anything like that, try and find somebody, man. Trust me. Having somebody to love and having somebody that loves you specifically, that's what you really are looking for, somebody who really, really loves you, okay? And I think it was a couple of years back, I cheated on Sarah. I kissed another girl. And I said to her, you know, I think our relationship needs to be over and what have you. And she was crying all this time. And we got back together and we've been together ever since. And it was through those trials and tribulations. And it was because I was so honest with her that the relationship actually still maintained that trust. So if you do anything bad, come out and admit it as quickly and as you possibly can. If you actually value that relationship at all, and that's what I did, even though at the time doing it, I had done a dishonest action and had wanted to break up with her, I still had that mutual respect and integrity to come out and say it. And we should all have that kind of bravery, I think, because that's how you maintain a good working relationship with either your friends, your family, or your significant other, or your government for that matter. So anyway, little announcement there.
Yeah.
And Craig, what about you? Final segment, we usually try to get a bit of a juicy question in for you. So it's about self-censorship. And whenever you're on radio or TV or in front of 100,000 pairs of eyes or ears or with a host that you maybe not have been interviewed before, there's certain things that you choose not to say, not necessarily because you don't believe them or anything like that, but because it might be a bit complicated, controversial, and you're afraid that perhaps the audience won't comprehend you because they're not quite onto it enough, or the host will judge you because he's a bit of a douchebag. And I'm going to just give you the opportunity now. This audience that we have here listening in the chat room and on the live streams, real smart cookies. Every single one of my listeners that I've listened to has impressed me with how intelligent they are. And I'm also impressed with just how non-judgmental I am in general. So this is the place where you will be comprehended and you won't be judged. So anything you'd like to say that you wouldn't otherwise do on any other platform, fire away.
Well, I think you have a unique platform there, Vinny, but I think the biggest single sticking point that we have to get our message across is that people have a love affair with the British Crown, and they played it up big time in Britain, you know, with the marriages recently, but also the Queen's PR stunts at the Olympic Games and so forth. Look, this is an evil institution, and the British Empire is still existent today. It was morphed in the 1950s and became the British Commonwealth as a PR exercise. It's full of eugenicists, you know, it's full of genocidalists. Their intention is world population reduction, as I mentioned before, which is what Prince Philip says. And people say of Prince Philip, oh, look, he's just a crazy old man. This guy established the premier green organisation in Australia, Australian Conservation Foundation, personally. He organised the funding personally. He came down to Australia personally to fund that. So the biggest issue that trying to get that message out in terms of other radio stations or venues is you come up against this holy grail. You can't attack the Queen. This is our heritage. You know, what are you going to do if you can't replace? Are you a Republican or something? Oh, yes, we are, very much so. We don't need a foreign power governing us and our country. And that message of the nature of the British royal family is something that people wince at, because, I mean, this, you know, in 1994, Vinny, when we'd only just basically been in Melbourne full time for about 2 years, we turned to mass organising and we talked about the World Wildlife Fund's genocide in Africa. We printed 20,000 newspapers and put that all out over Australia. Now, for us, 20,000 newspapers is a huge number of newspapers. But you want to cause a freakout. I mean, we started to attack the very power that governs the Commonwealth, governs New Zealand and governs Australia. And as soon as you start to take that on, people say, oh, you know, don't want to get too involved with those guys. I mean, because people know in their heart of hearts that we're actually attacking their sacred institution. But these are scumbags. This is an empire. This is the continuation of the slave trading, the opium trading and everything else. If you go back into history and have a look at it, you actually realise that this, you know, these policies are what is actually governing the world today. And you start talking about free trade and you read the pedigree of free trade today and go back to the British Empire, it's all there. We've produced DVDs on this called, one of them is called 1932, which is available on our website. On our website, we have an enormous amount of material that systematically goes through for people and says, and we take a historical approach in most respects because people don't understand their history. But I think that is the biggest wince point. I mean, I've been on many radio stations around this country and on, you know, television. People don't believe you when you start talking about the Queen, about actually what she represents. And that's the biggest sticking point. And it's good to be able to get this message out because, look, what's the reality? The Americans fought a war of independence against what? British Empire, British free trade. The American Revolution was against the British Empire, British free trade. In 1812, the Congress was sacked by, again, the British. They came and burnt down the Capitol. Today, you've got a president, Obama, that was paid, the money to get him elected in the first place came through the British institutions, the Cayman Islands, through likes of George Soros and others to put him into power. And look what he's doing today. He's doing nothing but the bidding of the British. And right now, we just put a newspaper out. I'll hold it up here. You won't be able to read the headline.
You're going to be put it right up closer, twice as close as it was. There we go, And hold it steady. Move it along to the side a little bit. British Crown's endgame, financial crash and nuclear war.
Now, that's a pretty heavy topic. We just produced 250,000 of those in 20 pages. And they've gone all out all over the country because, look, the issue is right now, look at Greece, look at Spain. This is the British Empire's financial and monetary system collapsing. And there's two factions. One faction in the British Empire wants to save themselves and they're going to go with a Glass-Steagall bankruptcy reorganisation. They want to do that, which is an Laurentian policy in the United States. I don't know whether Mike talked about that the other week, but the essential nature is to separate the speculation out from the actual banking system, preserve the banking system so that you can actually rebuild the economy. The other faction says we don't care what happens if we can't maintain the control of the world. We are going to literally blow it up, and you see this with the sorts of games that are going on. In Syria right now with the smashing of a sovereign government there. You've seen it with the murder of Gaddafi, you know, and the smashing of a sovereign government there, smashing of Iraq with Saddam Hussein. I mean, these guys are despots. You know, they've got problems. However, they were sovereign nation states that were destroyed by this idea of one world government, of destroying the national sovereignty.
And they also incidentally had state-owned banks and interest-free loans, and interest was illegal.
Yeah, and Australia's just deployed, you know, in the process of deploying 2,500 troops into Darwin as part of a program of falling into line with Obama's new imperial wars. And this will lead to nuclear war if it continues. And there's much commentary on this. Maybe we can pick it up at another time. But that's why we published that newspaper. That newspaper, Vinny, is available on our website for anyone to have a look at. And I think if people go to our website, a lot of what I've talked about can be found there. And if they want more, they can always drop us a line via our website. And we're very happy to send it through.
Okay, so what's the website name again?
It's www.cecaust.com.au.
Okay, so it's CE Caust, like caustic soda, CECAUST.com.au.
Yeah, and we're a sovereign political party here in Australia. We are LaRouche's co-thinkers here in Australia. We're not really part of LaRouche Packers per se, but you know, in the sense that we share the same ideas, we are. But you know, as people will see, in the context of us being in Australia, those ideas, all of our ideas, reflect what he has to say in the US.
Yeah. Well, you know what they say: when a good old idea gets old and forgotten about, when it returns, people think it's revolutionary. When it's just a repetition of what has already come before. And it's the same thing as tyranny as it is with freedom, because as every tyrant knows, you can never rule forever. And eventually, just like we hope to do with Julia Gillard, you'll be tossed into the pit of snakes and they'll give you a history lesson. Thank you very much, Craig Isherwood, for coming on the show with us today. His website, ladies and gentlemen, CECAUST.com.au. Go check that out. Get the paper and watch the DVDs. But help them out in some way. If you're an Aussie, support your local activists, because they're the ones who will save you from the New World Order, not somebody over here in New Zealand like me. We'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen.